He came down that week. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. As most of you probably know by now, I was an English major. A voracious reader, an obsessive collector of books, I am a true lover of language. If you've read any of my newsletter articles or really listened to my sermons, you'll know, too, that I strive to be a bit of a wordsmith. Words have such power, such richness, such depth of meaning. And that's what makes times like this hard. Because words fail. Words suddenly seem so inadequate. Quite frankly, there are simply no words that are appropriate for church on a Sunday morning to adequately describe what is happening in our communities right now. There simply are no words that are appropriate for church on a Sunday morning to adequately describe what is happening in our country right now. There simply are no words, none, that are appropriate for church on a Sunday morning to adequately describe what is happening in our hearts right now. What do we do when words fail us? Where do we turn for comfort? How do we find hope? In just a few days, I will celebrate 3 years since my ordination as a minister of Word and Sacrament of the Church of Christ, as a rostered leader of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I did it right here in this room, gathered together with many of you who are here this morning. In the days leading up to that event, I received in the mail a small package. Opening it, I was surprised to find a beautiful print, a piece of art. This print, created by a local artist in Excelsior and inspired by the civil unrest that surrounded the murder of George Floyd, it hangs in my office on the wall to this day. I see it every morning when I'm taking off my coat, sitting down at my desk. I'm going to pass it around. Here, I'll show it to you, Bud, and then I'll pass it on. Here, Gene. If you guys can pass this around, make sure everybody gets a look. As this print gets passed around, I'll describe it for folks who are joining us online or who are listening to the sermon podcast. It depicts a brilliantly colorful crowd of people, a real reflection of the diversity of God's creation, and they seem to be moving. All of them walking together. Some of them are holding hands, but all of them are moving as one, walking together, not uniform, right, but each on their own, and yet moving as one. It's an incredible depiction of community. And under this beautiful, colorful crowd that practically spills out of the frame, there are these simple and familiar words, on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe you have seen this picture before. Maybe you have heard me talk about it. It is a meaningful representation of my own theology, my own beliefs as a follower of Jesus. A representation that finds its roots in social movements sparked by tragedy and motivated by a desire to make the world a better place for all of God's beloved children. We hear these same ideas, witness this same kind of movement in our gospel text this morning. Jesus, that man of action we read about last week in John's gospel, is even more mobile in Matthew's telling this morning. Spurned on by the unjust arrest of his friend, his colleague, his peer, his family member, John the Baptist, Jesus seems to amp up his doings in the world, beckoning believers from their boats, pulling net menders and fishermen to shore. Jesus builds his movement with these holy words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus, announcing the blurring of lines between the depravity and drudgery of the earthbound and the glory and gladness of God, calls to these men, these followers, and invites them into action, implores them to be a part of something new, something true, something real, something holy. Next week, you will be joined again by Pastor Bonnie Wilcox, who I am sure will share a good word with you all as she preaches on the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And then you will certainly have a deeper sense of what Jesus means when he talks about the kingdom of heaven. But if words don't quite work for you, look at that picture that's going around. The kingdom of heaven has come near, and it looks an awful lot like community. It looks an awful lot like relationship. It looks an awful lot like love. In Matthew's gospel text this morning, we are introduced, yes, to this new thing that Jesus is about, and yet we are reminded that the work of God is older than time. Using the ancient words of the prophet Isaiah, spoken and written down a long, long time before Jesus walked this earth, Matthew reminds us that God's desire for love and good life for all has been at the heart of creation from the very beginning. These old, old words from Isaiah provide the basis for Jesus' venturing out of his comfort zone, out of his immediate community, out of the bounds of his culture and religious tradition in order to bring his message to the non-Jewish community, the Galilee of the nations, the Galilee of the Gentiles. God's love knows no bounds of who's in and who's out, of who deserves to be here and who does not, of who is legal or illegal. And Jesus knows this. Matthew knows this. Isaiah knew it too. And we know it, don't we? Maybe not all the time. Maybe not even most of the time, but when our guard is down, when we're not obsessed with being the most right, the most knowledgeable, the most of them all, when we're not so stubbornly certain about who is right and who is wrong, we catch ourselves basking in the glow of the gathering, don't we? When we find ourselves laughing together, crying together, singing in harmony, our varied voices blending and breathing as one, we manage for even just a second to remember God's promise to us that we will be one, that we are made to be together, not in competition, not in opposition, but in love. That picture, that beautiful little gift that I cherish so much. I show it to you today not just because it does what words can't quite do, not because it conveys with brilliant simplicity the promise of God's kingdom lived out here and now, not because it serves as a poignant illustration of our gospel reading this morning. No. Though all of those things are true, I share this with you today because of who gave it to me. You see, this gift was sent to me by Janet Olson. Janet, for many years, was married to my dad's younger brother, David. Janet, the mother of my beloved cousins, Katie, Joseph, and Brian, and grandmother to Isaac and Elliot, is, for lack of a better term, my uncle's ex-wife. For many years now, they have been divorced. Both are very happily remarried. We don't see each other very often. In fact, we hardly see each other at all. How many of you have experienced divorce in your family? Right, most of us. So you know, right, this reality. Janet is not at our broader family gatherings anymore. She's not in the family pictures and Christmas cards. But she's still my aunt. She is still someone who has loved me since before I was born. She is not a member of my family anymore, not according to the law anyhow, and yet she is still my aunt. This picture, this depiction of God's promise, this portrait of the kingdom of heaven is, yes, an expression of God's love in Christ Jesus, and yes, an example of God's vision for our life together on this earth. But it is also an expression of love from someone in my life who is no longer required to express it. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Last night, my family and I gathered with other neighbors, some I knew, some I didn't, in front of a church just a block or so away from my house. A church, I might add, whose theology isn't exactly in agreement with my own. And we stood together in the cold, each face illuminated by the candle in our hands. And we sang, "We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe that we shall overcome someday. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we'll walk hand in hand someday." Everybody sing this with me. "We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall live in peace someday." It is hard to know what to do these days. It is hard to know what to say. It is hard even to know how to feel. You are right to feel angry. You are right to feel dismayed. You are right to feel frustrated. You are right to feel at a loss for words. There aren't appropriate words for church on a Sunday morning to adequately describe what is happening right now. Maybe singing can help. Maybe beautiful pieces of art can bring hope. Maybe not. I don't know. But coming together, standing with one another, loving on each other with wild abandon, caring for one another, whether we know each other or not, whether we agree with each other or not, whether we are required to or not, acting with real compassion towards all of God's children is how we keep hope alive. Living and loving in active community is the heart of God's promise. The realization of God's kingdom right here, right now. It is how we begin to see the promise on earth as it is in heaven. It is how we begin to see one another, how God sees us all as beloved children. Let it be so. Amen.